RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 131 with guest Lara Rebelke, recorded Wednesday, October 7th, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. Everyone, how's it going?
Well, I may be jet-lagged, but you, sir, are getting married.
Yeah, well, by the time my brain is so completely squashed right now, I don't even know when this show airs, but we're recording it, what day is today? We're recording it like 3 days before I get married. What day is today, Richard?
That's right. It's Wednesday, bub, and yeah, it's a couple of Saturday. Days. You get married on Saturday, and I was in Kathmandu 2 days ago, but, you know, so we're quite a pair.
Yeah, I saw that you were flying around and back, and yeah, well, you know, glutton for punishment, as we say, right?
That's it, yeah. No rest for the wicked.
But we got lots of cool stuff out there to talk about, though, so we have to do this.
All right, well, let's dive right into it. Let me introduce our guest. Lara Rebelke brings her passion for architecting, implementing, and improving SQL Server solutions to the community as a data platform technology specialist from Microsoft. This role is a pre-sales role for SQL Server. Her expertise involves both OLTP and OLAP systems, data management, performance tuning, encryption, ETL, and the business intelligence lifecycle. Compliance and configuration management are near and dear to her heart. She is an active board member and advocate of the Minnesota chapter of PASS, that's the Professional Association for SQL Server, and regularly delivers technical presentations at local, regional, and national conferences, user groups, and webcasts. Notably, Lara has presented at TechEd, the PASS Summit, the Minneapolis SQL Server launch, and numerous webcasts on the MSDN and TechNet. Lara authored a number of Microsoft white papers and was a contributing editor on Expert SQL Server 2005 Development, the lead author, of course, Adam Mechanic. Prior to joining Microsoft, Lara was a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, but you can't have that title and work for Microsoft. Welcome, Lara.
Thank you.
Howdy.
Hi.
So we were talking to some of your associates. I believe it was...
I think it was Buck Woody.
We were talking to Buck Woody, and he mentioned your name.
How can you forget that name?
Yeah. In the context of EPM. And I just suddenly realized, wow, we've never done a show on this, and EPM is a big deal.
Yeah.
It is. I had no idea.
Well, it's funny how SQL Server has grown into this thing that actually, in some ways, makes it easier to administer a lot of IT-related tasks around policy. So I guess we better start at the top. What is the Enterprise Policy Management Framework?
Well, early in the development cycle, CCPs were coming out with SQL 2008, and I was just chatting with some of my colleagues, Tom Davidson, Dmitry Chikatilov. They're off on the East Coast, and we were chatting about some of these features. And when I was looking at SQL 2008, I was looking at it from the eyes of my consulting background. And when I would look at things, I'd look at them as, you know, how can we solve a problem and what are the solutions to introduce to our customers that can help globally address something that's a major pain.
Yeah.
So Tom actually had a great idea about using policy-based management across the enterprise and having like a centralized policy-based management infrastructure. And so that little germ of an idea was built into what we developed as an EPM framework or Enterprise Policy Management Framework. What this does, and it's available free off CodePlex, what this will do is allow you to extend policy-based management to all versions in your enterprise. But I'll put the caveat, I've never tested it on anything below 2000. So buyer beware on that. But for your 2000, 2005, if you wanted to do policy management and report on the current state of how your environment is configured according to what you've defined as your best practices, you can leverage that great feature of policy-based management and extend it down to those versions as well and look at it in a single viewpoint. So there are reports that are available that that leverage Reporting Services 2008, and they give you insight as to where you have compliance problems according to your best practices. So it's really just a way to take that 2008 feature and push it out across the enterprise and have a centralized viewpoint of management.
So what does this mean to the business? Why as a business manager, is this important to me?
Well, in a few different ways. First of all, I was a consultant, and so I'll raise my hand and say I probably did this too. But when you deploy your environment, you typically have this paper, this document, or something that defines this is how I'm going to deploy SQL Server. And in particular, very large enterprise customers that have, you know, hundreds and thousands of instances of SQL, they like to have a nice, consistent way of deploying SQL Server and maintaining it in the enterprise because it reduces the cost of maintaining that environment. So if something goes wrong on SQL Server, they could at least know that it's deployed in that same configuration, and they can focus in on what other outliers could be causing the problem versus, well, this flag in SQL Server was thrown on this instance and it's not thrown on these other instances. Could that be the problem? So having a nice consistent configuration is pretty valuable with larger customers and smaller customers, I'll say. The beauty of policy-based management is that it allows you to maintain that configuration, maintain a consistent configuration over time. So as I said, I used to be a consultant, and when I would go into environments, you know, I'd have my little white hat on and they'd say, I've got this major problem. I would go and fix it. And sometimes that involved changing configuration settings or moving things around. And in essence, I might have been, and you know, I'm probably putting myself up for like lots of lawsuits now, but I might have been actually defying what their proper configuration should be, or what it is.
Sure, in order to fix the problem, you had to go through and make a change that might not be consistent with what their standard is.
Exactly, exactly. You said that much better than I did. And it may not even be a consultant. It might be some junior or mid-level DBA who's just testing things out and happens to be testing it on production. I've had those calls before with managers saying, how can I know, and this is back in 2000, how can I know when somebody is like changing my Mac stop setting on my server because it's causing problems, and I'm seeing that this is happening and I just don't know who's doing it. Well, with policy-based management, what you can do now is maintain a consistent configuration or at least be notified when things are falling out of consistency. So having that consistent configuration, it's going to reduce management costs. It's going to ensure hopefully better and more predictable performance and configuration over time and a more secure platform over time. So to take that feature and be able to at least apply it on a reporting platform for down version evaluation allows you to maintain that consistent configuration for 2000 and 2005 as environments are upgrading up to 2008.
Now that to me seems like the real linchpin here. I find it quite common that when we set up our new versions or we upgrade SQL Server, we're pretty careful about getting all of our rules in place. But there's plenty of old SQL 2000 instances floating around out there that are probably pretty insecure.
And I would say that even over time, so as you install or as you upgrade, you're very careful, but not many people do spot checks on instances 6 months later to figure out, is this still in a consistent fashion with the way I deployed it?
Yeah, it's funny how suddenly, you know, little configuration changes happen and you really have no record of how the heck that happened.
Exactly, exactly.
I installed it one way, but today it's running this way.
Exactly. So PBM is going to allow you to at least get some kind of a reporting infrastructure to determine when did these changes happen at a minimum. And on the extreme side, it's going to disallow changes that might defy what your standards are. So it depends how you want to deploy that on 2008. So to have some kind of way to take that same infrastructure and apply it to 2000, 2005, it kind of brings everything into a single unified way to view your enterprise.
So the 2008 capabilities is sort of a configure, report, and prevent is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yes.
And the previous versions, and then you mentioned very briefly sort of before we started asking more questions here, something about CodePlex. Is this a community project that's going on?
So what we've been talking about are kind of two things. So you have policy-based management, and that's available on 2008, and it's a feature of 2008. And when you open up Management Studio or you use PowerShell, you can apply policies or evaluate policies against your down version. But that's an on-demand mode only, meaning I have to be in there pushing a button every time I want to do an evaluation.
Exactly. Gotcha.
What's on CodePlex is a way to automate that evaluation against your down version. So in 2008, when you have PBM on 2008, you have the ability to automate evaluation. For down versions, it's not automated unless you go to CodePlex and download the EPM framework. And that is basically taking a PowerShell script. It loops through a series of loops and will do evaluation of a set of policies against a group of servers and store the results into a centralized database.
Gotcha. As I recall in a previous conversation briefly about this, there was this is something you could do, for example, as a scheduled task. You might do it every couple of hours or every day or however frequently is appropriate for your business, but you could do it that way, right?
You can. You can. The script itself allows for different parameters to be passed in. One parameter is that you can pass in a category of policies. So one thing I always impress upon my customers and people that come hear about this at different presentations, I impress that within your policies, you can categorize them. And I always recommend categorizing your policies. The reason you want to categorize your policies is that you may have a set of policies that fall within a daily maintenance category, and you only want to run those once a day. You have another set of policies that maybe you want to run once an hour or once a week, and you have them categorized appropriately. Then you also have this other new feature in 2008 called a central management server. The EPM framework is hooked in with the central management server as well to allow you to group your instances. So you have what are now logical groups of instances. So you can have a group of SOCs instances, a group of PCI instances, a group of just write out production instances and development instances. The framework allows you to pass in a group of instances. So you could say apply policy-based management for my daily maintenance against my production group. And it will run on that schedule. So you can set it up to run once a day according to that category of policies.
And yeah, you sort of mentioned PCI in that. I could see where a set of servers that are actually storing credit card numbers needs to have encryption turned on. There's a lot of rules around how PCI compliance has to be followed. And that's much more strict than what the developers are going to want on their SQL servers.
And the interesting thing about PCI is that that differs from some other compliance regulations. PCI not only tells you that you have to have these things enforced, but it also tells you you have to review your infrastructure on a regular basis. And it has more strict guidelines that you don't just log who's looking at your sensitive data, but you have to review the logs. So the beautiful thing about 2008 with its myriad of features, it really allows you to address not just getting things into a proper configuration, but reviewing things over time.
Can we talk about the kinds of policies you can set that that EPM will understand?
Yeah, I was kind of curious. Maybe some examples of policies that what are those different capabilities?
Sure. So within SQL 2008, for a policy, you may create a policy that dictates something like my SQL logins must always have password complexity turned on. It was a feature that was introduced in 2005 that SQL logins can follow your complexity rules that you dictate in your Windows Server environment. And that was a great thing. The problem is that people may not have always enforced it. It's a little checkbox, and it DBAs just may not have thought to always check that checkbox. So in 2008, with a policy now, you could say that all my SQL logins must have that password complexity rule enabled. And it will enforce that real time. So if somebody tries to create a new login and they don't enforce the complexity rules within your new login, it will roll back that transaction and disallow you from creating the login until you check that checkbox.
Just out of curiosity, what happens if you've already created the login and then you change the policy to add that to your set of policy?
So for existing logins, it will not disallow those logins because they already exist. But
sure.
What it will do is report back to you through the application log and SQL Server error log where you have discrepancies according to the policy.
Gotcha.
So it's not going to enforce on existing logins, but it will come back and tell you where you have problems.
And can we go further than this? Does it get much into the Active Directory side of things or even ACLs around file access?
So here's where I would draw a differentiator. There, you can use any tool for just about anything if you wanted to, right? But there are certain things that you would say that's not the right tool for the job. There are better tools out there for the job. File access, probably not the best tool for that job. While you can force fit policy-based management to do things more at the file system level and to do things at the operating system level, it's not the right tool. You want to leverage your Active Directory. You want to leverage group policy. You may want to leverage System Center for other things. A very common example is when you install SQL 2008, you are provided with about 50 best practices policies out of the box.
Right.
And these are policies that are based on a previous version of the best practices analyzer. So it used to be a separate tool, and you had all of these rules that were checked within the tool. Well, we're not releasing another tool. Instead, what we're releasing are policies, and you can check these policies against your instance. Well, some of these policies do things like I'm going to comb through my event log to find out if there are any errors that fall within, you know, this error number or something like that, and report back to you. Well, while you can do that with policy-based management, I would still recommend using things like System Center for that kind of a check. It's the right tool for the job. It's more efficient. And policy-based management can do it, but it's going to be slower. And it's going to have more overhead.
Right.
It's not the right tool for that kind of a job.
There's got to be a point where you're really stepping on the space of System Center.
There is a little bit of overlap, but System Center itself doesn't go as deep into the configuration as policy-based management will do.
Right.
So within policy-based management, this is everything within the instance. It's about the instance and within the instance. And System Center itself goes up to the instance, and you can force fit it to go further, but it's not the right tool for that job. So with policy-based management, you're going to be able to do things like, I want to enforce naming conventions on my stored procedures within my user databases. I want to enforce configuration settings on my databases so that they all follow the same marching orders and have the same configuration for performance and configuration for recoverability. That's all within the domain of the policy-based management.
How does one address the need to ensure that developers are building applications and interacting with the database in a way that will be consistent with the policy that you might run in production? Is it would be a common practice to leverage this across your environment so that your entire development lifecycle takes your policy management into account?
Absolutely. So the if I'm hearing the question correctly, it's more around how do I ensure that all of my environments have these same policies so that if somebody writes something against a test server and it works, that we're ensured that it's still going to work in the same consistent manner when we get to production.
Right. Or conversely, that it's not broken from the beginning.
Exactly. And it's not broken from the beginning, meaning they create like a user table and don't follow the naming convention.
I mean, my experience is that if it's broken from the beginning, that what ends up happening is not that it gets fixed in the code, but rather that it ends up getting reconfigured on the server a lot of the time, unless there's some gross problem there. But that's the question that I'm trying to, that's what I want to avoid.
Absolutely, because by the time you get to deploying things to production, you're not willing to go back and fix things at the beginning. You want to just force fit it because you're too far down the line. You're invested and you have to just get things working.
Right.
But the policies themselves, when you create a policy on an instance, you can export it. It's an XML document. It can sit out in the file system. It can be shared with other instances as well. So you can just take that same policy and import it to one or more instances within your environment, either one at a time or to a whole group of instances. So you could take a series of policies that are my deployment configuration policies, for example, and I deploy them out to production. I would also deploy those out to every other dev, test, and stage environment prior to production so that it's consistent and the configurations match what will be in production.
So what does deployment look like? What's the model for that? Is it a manual process or do we have some automation built in?
Well, at this time, it's a manual process through Management Studio, but I have seen that Bob Boschman, for example, has put some examples of how to move policies around. I think he's using SMO. I haven't been playing with that myself, but I do believe Bob Boschman was playing with it about a year ago, maybe a little more.
I just think about an environment like one that I'm familiar with where there are thousands of instances of SQL Server, you know, for developers and at least hundreds, if not thousands of instances of SQL Server for, like a stage or a test in a production environment. And I could see where one would need to have a pretty solid story from a management standpoint.
It sounds painful. Absolutely. But if you want to think about it in context of how do you manage this from a DBA perspective in very large environments, I have those customers too. I've got a number of customers that have the several thousand instances each in production. So when you're deploying policies, you're not going to deploy one policy to one instance and do the right click configuration through Management Studio. In SQL 2008, we also introduced that central management server feature.
Right.
So you can create, first of all, you register an instance as a central management server, and you create logical server groups within that central management server. One of those logical server groups might be development, one might be production, et cetera, et cetera. And you register instances to those logical server groups. And I have created scripts that help automate the registration of servers into those logical server groups. So, you know, the automation of registration for that environment is it can be automated. Once you have those logical server groups configured and set up within the central management server, you can do some pretty interesting things. You can right-click on that production folder, that top leaf production folder, and you can say things like, I want to run a query against all these instances, and it will run a single, in one single query window, you're going to run a single query and it will produce results from all of the instances in a single view. You can also do things like, I want to import policies to all of these instances. So that is how you would deploy all of your policies to all of your production instances at one time.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's awesomely powerful and horrifying at the same moment. Like, you remember that great policy push with SMS where you disabled SMS?
Yeah.
That's where I end up going, is right to the spot where, and then I crippled my ability to talk to any of my servers.
It's funny how any time that we end up having conversations in the IT world about pushing things and sort of, you know, configurations out, it always goes back to SMS of like the 2000 to 2003 years and all of the pain that we felt, you know.
You know, it is through that pain that we have been enlightened, though, right?
That's true. Pain does amazing things, doesn't it?
That's what they keep telling me. I just thought it was a big pile of scars myself.
That, they say that, and fear is the great motivator. So
it sounds like you still lose sleep over those days.
Well, and I do like the idea, and certainly virtualization helps with this, where I'd be able to create a contained environment and do a couple of test pushes of policy on that environment and see how it behaves before I go around rolling onto major machines.
Well, and of course, a best practice for pretty much anything whether it's SQL Server or otherwise, would be, you know, do test environment and don't assume that your changes are going to be innocuous, you know, anytime.
And you want to be careful about which policies you start with. You know, there are going to be some pretty easy policies that you'll look to deploy. In 2005, we had the Surface Area Configuration Manager.
Right.
And so people typically like enabled and disabled things according to the System Center Configuration Manager. Well, in 2008, you can take all of those configurations and throw them into a policy, and you'll have a like experience that you would have had in 2005 with that configuration manager. So that might be kind of where you start and just say, well, how was I enabling and disabling things in 2005? And let's build a policy around that and start deploying that out to my 2008 environment.
And typically, how are we communicating with the SQL Server? Is this all 1433 type communications? Is there anything special going on there?
Well, the central management server, I don't think there's anything, any kind of special communication going on with policy-based management. And the central management server, I can't think of any special communication. Authentication and authorization is only available through Windows, so you can't use SQL logins to register your instances.
It has to be
Windows only. So that's one thing to consider. But I can't think of any other.
And the only instance of SQL 2008 you have to have is the administration server.
Okay, now we've jumped across the bend. So we were talking about policy-based management.
Right.
True. And if we want to take that one feature, that PBM feature, and apply it with down version, then we would leverage what's out on CodePlex, the EPM framework.
Right.
For the EPM framework, you need at least one instance of 2008. And one instance of reporting services 2008. And once you have those two things set up in your environment, you're able to then set up the rest of the framework to do evaluation across your down version.
That's awfully cool. Does it matter which version of 2008 I'm running?
That's another good question. So it does to a degree. So if you're talking about versions, you'll need Standard Edition or Enterprise Edition. It will not work on Express because you need SQL Agent in order to automate things.
Right.
Right? If you are talking, and that's for Edition. Sorry about that. If you're talking about versions, then you want to be careful about SP1. SP1 introduced an issue with down version evaluation in any environment. So it essentially disallowed you from being able to do evaluation against 2000, 2005 through PowerShell, through Management Studio, due to one of the things that they were trying to change, a fix that they introduced. So if you apply SP1, apply the cumulative update 3 or greater, and then you should be good to go.
Okay. Gotcha.
And this only matters if you're running Service Pack 1 of 2008, which I would expect everybody ought to be doing.
Most people do. Most people, once those service packs come out, they start testing them and trying to apply them. Now, you only need to have that cumulative update applied on that administrative server, or what we call the central management server, that central instance. So if you have that applied on that instance, then the rest of your versions, they shouldn't see an issue.
Well, and because folks get nervous about the hot fixes, right? I don't mind a service pack, but don't make me apply hot fixes.
Yeah, well, you know, they are a little more nervous about cumulative updates. And, you know, hot fixes kind of have, and cumulative updates, they don't have the same kind of rigor applied to the testing cycles that you would have with the service pack.
Right.
But they are pretty good. And you typically don't apply them unless you need to. And in this case, you would need to.
But only to the central administration server.
Only to that central administration server, yep.
And I'm sorry if I keep jumping back and forth here between the features that are in 2008 and what's in the framework here.
Uh-huh.
Detection of servers. How do we go out there and find all these old SQL servers that are roaming around in our networks?
So if you don't have something like System Center that's combing through your network and figuring out where people are installing rogue instances of SQL Server, Microsoft last year introduced a tool called the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, or MAP. And what MAP will do is discovery of different things. And one of the things it discovers for is SQL Server installations. So it will comb through a range of IP addresses or an Active Directory domain or a text file with server names. And it will report back to you where you have SQL Server installed, what version it is, what edition it is, service pack level, the whole nine yards, and when it was installed.
Right.
Cool.
And that's getting back to our show with Buck Woody, I think it was 128, about the SQL CMS, which talked about using MAP and EPM and so forth together.
Exactly, exactly. So MAP allows you for the discovery. And again, I've got some scripts that help take all of that information that it discovered, because what MAP will do is store everything into a SQL Server table or a series of tables.
Right.
And I've got some scripts that will take those instances out of the table and then register them into a folder in the central management server.
Oh, cool.
That is very slick.
Yeah, and like I said, when I think about all these features, I always think about my customers with the thousands of instances.
Yeah.
Because if I have to tell them that they have to right-click and register 3,000 times, you know, they would laugh me out of the room.
It's a non-starter, yeah.
Yeah, it's a non-starter, and they'd have carpal tunnel. It'd be a workman's comp issue. It's all bad. So anytime we can just script it. If you can't script it, you shouldn't do it, right?
Yeah. Well, you cannot allow per machine touch at that scale. It's just not feasible.
I agree.
I got to think that PowerShell's got to play a huge role in all of this then.
PowerShell is the heart of the whole EPM framework. So when they released one of the early CCPs, I think it was 5, they released the first two commandlets that were then released in with the production RTM. In these commandlets, one of them is an execute SQL CMD, and it's just executing a SQL statement. And the other one is invoke policy evaluation. That one commandlet allowed for the EPM framework. So what I do within that my PowerShell script, it essentially takes that commandlet and wraps it within a loop to loop through policies, and then through another loop to loop through server instances, and does some error handling within the script and allows for different parameterization. So it's really just a fancy way of doing a couple of loops.
So real quick, before we finish up, what are your top, I don't know, you pick a number, let's say top three policies that somebody should implement or apply first?
Oh my gosh. You know, you're going to try and pin me down to something.
Only three.
Only three.
Consultants at heart don't like to be pinned down, do they?
I know. And I still have the heart of a consultant, even though I've been removed for about 2+ years.
Yeah.
I do find myself hard pressed to come up with three that everybody should apply, only because everybody's environment is different, but I think the first thing I would do is look at that surface area configuration and apply those policies. I also would look at things like a database configuration. So, if you have a deployment document that states that my databases must always be in full, that, my auto shrink must be disabled, my auto close must be disabled, things like that, I would set up a policy for database configuration. That seems like a no-brainer to me. And oftentimes people deploy databases and may forget to double check that, especially at that junior level. They just may forget to think about the recovery model and put it into simple or put it into full when it's expected to go the other way. And I've been a consultant where I've had to deal with customers who thought that their database was in simple and never took transaction log backup, and all of a sudden they ran out of file space.
Right, exactly.
So things like that are pretty common in my opinion. But because I'm a compliance junkie, I also look at the compliance regulations. So if you are looking at SOX regulations, I would start combing through those SOX regulations and figure out, okay, if it's telling me that I have to have complexity rules on, how should I implement this as a policy and enforce it and monitor it over time? Because that's going to reduce my time over the next year in reporting back, because I'll have all of that information in my event log and I don't have to comb through and set up an infrastructure to report back to me. It's automatically doing it for me. So I would look at regulatory requirements as kind of another place to try and reduce my heartache.
Well, that's a much more subtle set of policies, too, because now we're talking more about the logging of changes and logins and logouts. Like, that's a lot of little granular policies that need to be set to actually have a good picture.
Absolutely. And the login and logouts, that would probably be something more on the auditing side of things.
Right.
So you have SQL Server audits and other tools in SQL Server. But as far as the password rules and not just login, logout, but when did somebody make a change to the configuration of this password rule on my login? So anything that is considered to be more at that configuration level, it's pretty easy for me to say, just let's start looking at a policy for that.
Very cool.
Lara, I think we're about out of time. Any last words before we wrap up?
No, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, we try to have a lot of fun.
I'll be talking about this at greater depth in at the PASS conference in November. So if people want to hear more about it, I'll be out there. I don't have the speaker schedule yet, but it'll be sometime during those 3 days. So I'm going to go into some depth on policy-based management. What are the different, pre-SP1, post-SP1 changes mean and how things are evaluated, just so people have a better, deeper understanding of PBM.
Lara, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks a bunch.
No problem.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.